Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Butler County Commission meeting for November 27th. Will you please join us for the Pledge of Allegiance and the prayer?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mike?
Our God, we thank you for the blessings that you give us, and particularly for the blessings of freedom, the opportunity to be Americans. We thank you for these freedoms and our liberties, and we thank you for those who protect them and keep us safe. We ask that you watch over them. Today, as we conduct the public's business, please be in our hearts. We ask that you bless our community, and as we come out of this Thanksgiving weekend and holiday, we ask that you accept our thanks for all that you do for us. Thank you for your forgiveness. In your son's name, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Okay, good morning. We'll begin with public hearing number one, annexation of 183.379 acres in the city of Trenton. Is there anyone here in the audience who would like to speak in favor of this annexation during this public hearing? Anyone like to address the commission in favor of this annexation? Anyone wishing to speak against this annexation? Again, anyone wishing to speak against this annexation?
Move to close public hearing.
Second.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Fox?
Yes.
Commissioner Jalaga?
Yes. Do you have two public hearings?
No, there's just one. So you can move forward today if you would like to.
Did we receive anything from the township trustees or anyone?
No, sir.
Move to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Fox?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Galvez?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Dave?
Yes? I'm here with Dave Stan today.
I'm sorry.
<That's> right. Got Walden Pond, Section 10, Lot B. Lot for that. There's 22 lots in Walden Pond.
Thanks.
Move to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Fox?
Yes.
Commissioner Crown?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you. Have communications?
First, would it be approved minutes from the November 16th meeting, approved travel and training, hire computer-based program specialist for Record Center, grant family medical leave for two CSEA employees, 5 resolutions for care facility personnel actions under the county engineers, issue special hauling permit under environmental services, hire seasonal employee effective December 11th, approve 2 water and sewer extensions, one's to Trails of Shaker Run Phase 5 and University Point Health Alliance, approve 2 OPWC disbursements, request number 1 and 8, release 1-year maintenance bond for Trails of 4 Bridges, amend resolutions for Kyle Station Meadows, advertise bids for sodium hypochlorite, aluminate, carbonate, and wastewater polymer. Under finance, approve transfers and appropriations, accept amended certificate of estimated resources dated November 16th, increase Board of Election general fund allocation, maintenance allocation, debt service allocation, plumbing repair at JDC, and voting machine. Under job family services, approve Title 20 county profile agreement, 2 contracts with Hamilton City Schools. Under miscellaneous, bond anticipation note, award contract to Sauber Construction for GSC Conference Center. Conference Center, approved contract with Sprint Solutions and Cincinnati Bell. Approve amendment number 1 to intergovernmental agreement with Claremont County JFS. and approve another intergovernmental agreement with Coshocton County GFS for our imaging system.
There's no changes or amendments. I move to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Fox?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
And Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes. Thank you. Anyone in the audience have any?
I know Cindy does. Cindy Carpenter.
Oh, hi, Cindy. You have something you'd like to address commission?
Good morning.
Yes, thank you. Thanks.
Hello.
I spoke last night with last week with Commissioner Fox, and he suggested that I give you this report because there were certain economic indicators that were coming to our attention in the Clerk of Court's office. To give you an overview of 2006, it's been very, very challenging for our office. Both of our major departments, the Legal Division and the Title Division, have been struggling to deal with the effects of the local economy. We're processing record number of home foreclosures, which is a process that burdens the resources of the clerk's office, sheriff's office, and is inundating our common pleas court. Foreclosures are a key indicator of financial difficulty since a home is often the single largest investment a person ever makes. Financial indicators for a person's second largest investment, an automobile, are equally bleak. Transactions for the Butler County Title Division, representing both new and used cars, have plummeted to 1998 figures. This report contains information that's important for the commissioners to monitor. As you know, the general fund supports the operations of all of the county agencies involved in processing home foreclosures. It is equally important for the commissioners to monitor the productivity of the Title Division, even though the Title Division is expected to be self-supporting. If current trends continue and revenues do not meet operating expenses, the commissioners would be financially responsible for all contracts, such as the three branch office lease agreements that are held by the county on behalf of the Title Division. My first page shows you foreclosure action statistics. Okay, I see they passed that out through the audience. That's fine. The total number of foreclosure actions filed has steadily increased from 761 7 years ago to an estimated 2,306 in 2006. And the bar chart shows you the representation of those numbers. As a benchmark, we can look at the 2003 numbers, and they represent a 6% increase over the previous year. So 6% increase is about what we're used to seeing in the court system here. By comparison, in 2006, we can expect foreclosure filings to increase 30% over 2005. These numbers represent the highest rate of increase in our history. Interestingly enough, today there was an article in the Journal News about foreclosure rates. And since I had worked on this report yesterday, I noticed that the number was different than the number I had here. So I had Jeff run the numbers again for me this morning. We will have a 30% increase in foreclosure rates in 2006 over 2005. That was not the correct number in the paper this morning.
Is it higher or lower?
It didn't reflect new foreclosure actions. It reflected the Supreme Court report on how many foreclosure actions the judges completed in 2005, which is a judicial productivity number, not an indicator of new cases. The foreclosure actions, like certain complicated criminal cases, take up a disproportionate amount of justice system resources. 3 hours of data entry clerk time is required to process every foreclosure action in the Clerk of Court's office. Approximately 4 full-time employees are needed to process this volume of work for this year, 2006. And moving to the next page, I gave you a bar graph to indicate to show you our Title Division indicators. Title Division began a downward trend in 2004. We've experienced a 17% decline in transactions processed for 2006 over 2005. I gave you a little bit of bullet points about each office so you can understand kind of what the various communities are doing. The Middletown office transactions have dropped from 2,700 to 2,100 per month. In our monthly reports, we're seeing that's consistent with the Middletown office over previous years. That's where we're seeing the biggest loss of transactions. The Hamilton office, though, is also seeing has seen a steady decline throughout the year 2006. But for some reason, at the end of the summer, the numbers rose higher, and that's a little different than what we normally see when people get their income tax check. That's typically when we see more title transactions occurring in February, March, and April. So the Fairfield office didn't have that tax refund check increase, but they also saw increase in numbers in August. And again, that might be when gas prices dropped a little bit. So we figured, as we saw these trends happening at the beginning of the year, that people were deciding not to buy vehicles because of the rising gas prices. And the Westchester title office productivity, making up 22% of our volume, has remained steady throughout this year, but it is equal to the 2005 numbers. We've not seen an increase. And when you take all these things into consideration, we are now estimating a shortfall of $90,700 for the revenue we projected to you at last year's budget meeting. Again, that little chart shows the percentage of volume done by each of our offices in our various communities. Although the communities are similar in size, most of the used car dealers in Butler County are in Fairfield, and that's why that makes up 48% of the transactions. So instead of just coming here to complain and cry on your shoulder, the next page shows you what we have done in our office to address, you know, address the financial crunch we're feeling right now. Mm-hmm. We did not replace two full-time employees and reduced our staffing level in the title division to 27. We reassigned, instead of laying off, our three part-time title division employees to the legal division, where, if you remember, at the end of the year, we do the archiving of the old year's records over to the record center. So instead of hiring part-time help to do our legal division work at the end of the year, we're going to move our title division employees over there. We reassigned administrative employees to the legal division. And you may remember 4 or 5 years ago, Tim Williams came to us and said, the title division's making a profit. We'd like to put more of your legal division administration employees on title division because the general fund, you know, needs a relief. Well, now we've had to shift a couple of the employees back because the title division fund needs a relief. We billed MRDD for their portion of the mail courier salary, which is something we normally do not do. We have an agreement with MRDD and I guess juvenile court, many of the agencies that are outside of downtown Hamilton, that our mail courier would stop by and pick up all their work. So we're hoping that that will bring us back $8,000 into our title fund this year, which is money that we desperately need. Other little cost-saving measures are reducing branch office cleaning services, reducing the phone bill, renegotiating the cell phones, cutting those in half. We reduced hours of operation by eliminating Monday evening hours, and we based that on the volume we were doing. It wasn't really financially beneficial to us to keep the doors open on Monday, so we're going to stop Monday evening hours. We moved $12,000 of excess funds from computer fund to title fund. Our plan is for the rest of 2006 to work closely with Bob Lowry in the commissioner's office and Belinda Ricketts in the auditor's office, because they are much better at reading the Oracle reports, monitor our budget activity, and we fully intend to meet our operational expenses without additional legal division or title division appropriations. Now, we say that each day we look at the numbers, we're like, oh my gosh, we forgot something, but you know, right now it really looks pretty solidly like we're gonna make it through this year without any additional appropriations. And that's our goal, and everybody on your team and our team is working for that same goal. Then the next page, I thought, well, what can the commissioners do to help me? So I thought I'd give you a little list. We're not going to be able to predict what happens in 2007. All we can say for sure is in the 10 years that I've been clerk, this is the worst year we've had in terms of revenue. You know, it was just unpredictable in the automobile industry and unpredictable with, I believe, the AK Steel strike and the foreclosures that we've experienced. So we came up with some ideas in our office, and this is not just my ideas, this is everybody's best idea. The number one idea from the girls in the legal department is to ask you as commissioners to create a diversion program for those foreclosure cases that are initiated by Butler County due to delinquent tax status. The foreclosure cases throw an incredible amount of human resource hours on my department, the sheriff's department. Is that pretty much it? And the prosecutor's office and the treasurer's office make a little money on those cases. So you as commissioners who budget for my office and the sheriff's office might want to know, is the money they're making on the foreclosure cases worth the trade-off in costs we shift to the sheriff and the clerk's office and the social problems we're creating in this county by the extraordinary number of people who have lost their homes, their number one investment that they'll ever make in their life. So it's just a little piece of the pie. You can't do anything about the lending institutions initiating foreclosure actions, but the part where Butler County initiates it is something that I think is worthy of you looking at. We would appreciate that. The second item I have is support Senate Bill 249, sponsored by Senator Cates, that allows the clerk of courts to bid for full authority deputy registrar agency in our Westchester office. Our Westchester citizens do not typically drive to Hamilton or Middletown to buy their tags for their car. They will normally go to Mason or Sharonville. So having us put that full authority in Westchester will not take any dollars away from any of our other deputy registrars in the Butler County area. It would add something where nothing exists now. Third item, which is very important, and there is no legislative vehicle for this right now, is to support a title fee increase within the Commissioners Association. We currently receive $2.25 per title. This is the lowest fee in the nation and has not been increased since 1990. That's our problem in a nutshell right there.
What should it be?
We're asking for, we've floated up through, different legislators, a dollar increase, $2 increase, $3 increase, and, with the, way things are in Columbus, nothing's really sticking, nobody's really interested in this. But the hard reality is $2.25 doesn't cover our health insurance, our collective bargaining unit, salary scales, our overhead with our branch offices. And every time we take a hard look at it, like we did in the last few weeks, to say, where can we cut expenses? A big portion of our expenses are in having a branch office in the four areas of the four major cities in Butler County. We don't want to give any of those up, nor do those people, need to have that reduction in service. Middletown's bigger than some entire counties, and they have, all these services available to their people. Hamilton is the county seat. So we don't want to sacrifice any of our branch offices. Please.
For other counties, do they have the same fee?
Yes, it's statewide. It's a state of Ohio fee, and it would have to be raised by the legislature. A dollar would go a long way towards giving us a little bit of a cushion to manage those offices. And another item, the last item, is just to throw this out there, since we're having this discussion, offer to financially support computer projects that integrate the Common Pleas Court, area courts, sheriff's office, clerk's office, and prosecutor's office. Absolutely no focus has been placed on interagency integration since the failed BIS project in 1998. And we can identify numerous ways where we could reduce redundant data entry, and we believe there's countless opportunities to improve efficiencies just in the way we handle, the workflow process through all these various justice agencies. And again, there's no reason for anybody else to drive that agenda except the commissioners, because you're paying for all the budgets. You're paying for the prosecutor's office to type a subpoena, and then you're paying for my clerks to type the exact same language a few hours later. That continues to seem silly to me. So that's my report, and I was happy to be invited to give that to you, and we'll entertain any questions or anything you want to discuss about what we see from our perspective.
Have you talked to Cates or anybody else about this cone? Well, I guess it would be, there's a state rep in their area, to see about increasing this legislation?
That has been within a committee in the Clerk of Courts Association. So we are going to Winter Conference, I guess, tomorrow. And we're going to, I am closely following the strategy for getting that passed. And I will absolutely volunteer our legislators, you know, as a potential sponsor for that legislation.
Of course, if they're down dramatically right now, I guess that really wouldn't help the situation a whole lot. But I don't know how long they're going to stay that way.
I think the numbers are just a dollar increase would, you know, be life-saving for us. And, you know, it's the title division is a business, you know, and so we're affected by the problems we're having locally in the economy.
Well,
people aren't buying cars anywhere. It's not just Butler County, by the way.
Your problem is also reflective in our big picture, general fund picture, because of the car sales being down. Our sales tax for last month was $300,000 less than the month before, and you know, we were hoping for a substantial increase in growth in the sales tax this year. But I think we're going to fall about 4 or 5% short of our projections, which is not doesn't bode well for 2007.
And you don't know what's coming down the pike, so you can't plan either. We did we spent a lot of time looking at our 2006 numbers, and I know for sure we can't make any sense of them. You know, they're just different, and you know, just. The months there was nothing there that we could use to predict, you know, future revenue.
I think with your diversion program, that's very interesting. You know, how many are initiated by the county for?
Jeff, guess. Sorry. Best guess, Jeff.
Yes.
Yeah. And those are the hardest ones for us to deal with across the counter, because these people who are losing their home because they're behind in their taxes often come up basically to cry and, you know, say, please, can you do something? And there's nothing we can do. And it's very heartbreaking for the clerks who are filing the paperwork. So we, you know, that, and that's why they asked me to bring it to your attention.
Another question, if I may.
Certainly.
Talking about the integrating those the services, is there any other support for that? Have you talked to any of the other agencies?
I know that Jeff, our information systems director, attends the criminal justice meetings, and there are a number of different forums. And it's I believe that there's so much other work that the agencies are dealing with. It's just another project. It's, you know, they know from the get-go it wouldn't be funded. You know, they don't have a funding source. It would be a lot of work. So that, I think that's really the stumbling block, is to get the funding to carve out, you know, this month we're going to integrate subpoenas. Next month we're going to integrate order of sales with the sheriff's office. You know, we need to just, you know, eat the elephant one bite at a time on some of these integration projects and call that one little piece of success. That's what I've done in my office, which is now 99.9% fully automated. We don't do everything at this, you know, in one project. We do little pieces of it, monitor, make sure it's successful, then take all our resources and our staff and apply them to the next little project. And, I think that the driving force for that kind of taking our computer systems to the next level has to be the commissioners, because you're the ones that are going to see, you know, the benefit from the improved efficiencies. And your budgeting is what I would hope.
Are the obstacles to that turf battles?
Their obstacles are right now, it's not on anybody's radar screen. It's not important to anybody is what the obstacle is. They're all busy and they're all doing, you know, there are other statutory duties. It's just not important to them.
I mean, I was a commissioner the first day I became commissioner, October 15th, 1997. I attended a meeting on the infamous justice information system. We're still living with the legacy of having given it to a judge. The commissioners gave it to a judge who was dedicated to making sure there was no integrated information system. And that judge is now gone.
Right.
But we're still paying the cost of that mistake. And the commissioners did it unwittingly. I mean, you were talking two languages up here. The commissioners were saying it's going to be integrated. And everybody used the words, but when you got into, if you understood the way these systems, the difference between open and closed architecture, they were designing closed architecture systems. And basically, they were building moats around every office. And when we discovered it, after what, how much money did we throw away before we, you know, I mean,
we could have thrown away a lot more. That's all I can say on that project, but we didn't.
But now I think it comes down to you've got those, you know, I mean, there's no real reason why the area courts is not integrated with your system. Is that correct?
No, and I change the subject a little bit. I am working with Jan Hefner at Children's Services to help her get the criminal background data she needs on foster parents. I wish we'd have done a better job in having all that fully integrated now, because that's something that some of the other major counties are tapping into for doing their foster parent background check. We simply don't have a central database for all of our domestic violence charges and some other things that would be helpful in screening foster parents. That's one of the reasons I'm bringing this up again. I'm also going to work with Senator Cates on getting Children's Services access to some of the Attorney General's law enforcement databases that are existing.
But the prosecutor's office, the juvenile division, and the Children's Services all have three different systems, which means every piece of paper that goes through the juvenile system has to be typed into three different systems. There's so many efficiencies that could be derived, but somehow we have to take a overall look at this stuff and see, you know, I think you're right, it's about you do it one bite at a time.
Yep.
And say, okay, if we did this piece, what productivity increases could we get from that?
Or what did we learn on how to work together? You know, we don't have work groups that do this between the agencies right now. There's some, I want to point out, there's some, it's a very different scene right now. If you gave this kind of coordination integration back to an agency, don't give it to domestic relations court. It's a criminal justice issue where we have the duplicated data entry. It has nothing to do with domestic relations. So that was like that just happened to be the most, the office that wanted to do it. Secondly,
they do have an interface with juvenile.
Do they?
Yeah.
We're not part of that system.
But
so
they have two different. but they have two different information systems that drive cost and time up.
So by selecting a different agency to lead that project, I think you would have better focus on where we can improve efficiencies. Secondly, at that time in 1996-97, these other agencies in the county were not computerized themselves. They were looking for the JIS project to answer every single solution to, you know, computerizing their entire offices. It couldn't possibly have done that if you would have put $5-10 million in the project. So now those agencies have gone back home to their, you know, and computerized their own agencies. Now finally they've got it all on their computer system. All we're going to do is reach between computer systems and share data. It'll be a much simpler project at this step than it would have been in 1997. And, you know,
an expensive program change or
Jeff.
You would have to look at several interfaces. I don't think there would be full-blown programming changes. There are a number of different things and techniques, XML or a data repository model. I'm not necessarily speaking for Cindy, but I've always felt that the county needs what I would consider like a data czar that can go in and, okay, you've got this data, and you've got this data, and those agencies would relinquish the talk of interface and what will be shared to this person that presumably employed by the commissioners that would help with that integration piece to let go of those blockades of the data, because everybody to a certain degree, while they're willing to share their data,
And that's another place where the legislators need to be involved, because social services is the same thing. We've got families involved with five different agencies, each one.
Confidentially agreements and all that.
They have all those, and there are, believe it or not, places on earth and in this country where, notwithstanding the confidentiality statutes that they all have to deal with, they have very successfully worked around those to develop shared databases that, again, we've got people going four or five different agencies, and every time they start, they type in a new form, and every service that's delivered requires now all of that stuff eventually gets taken. They end up in juvenile or domestic, all that stuff. I mean, you've got all this stuff moving around, and I think it, I mean, our budget, our catch-22 here is the budget is strapped, but I think as we look at resolving the budget challenges we have, we also have to look at identifying some areas where we can get some productivity gains. And there are some, again, there's some things you can do quickly. There's some on-the-shelf software that's been reviewed. I don't know, have you heard any more about the InstaKnow stuff? I know that Sullivan's group is looking at that, and I think Bruce had some people looking at it. That's kind of some patchwork. It's called Scream Scraper that just goes in and somehow, Jeff can explain it better than I, but somehow it just goes in and grabs this stuff and makes a virtual integration for a moment. And I don't know if that solves problems or not, but I know that some of the folks are looking at that.
I think we need to do an analysis of where you could save the most money, and then make those our targeted projects first. Don't make this about turf. Don't make this about anything else. Just make this about where are we going to improve efficiency in the justice system.
And you get, you know, you get the personalities involved. I mean, while I have deep affection for both, we've got the auditor's office that has the computer, what do they call it, computer information
system.
And our auditor and Cindy are like two porcupines walking each other.
We did. I had Judge Spaeth come to me and say, I really want imaging. And so I took that to heart. I went back to our vendor where I had purchased unlimited licensing for my imaging product many years ago, and said, you know, I want to apply this to the judges. We had resistance to connecting the clerk's network to the judicial network by BCIS because of fear of our network. And we're no different than any other county agency. If you've got some rogue person on your network, you're in trouble. But we worked past that by the judges continuing to call meetings to say, hey, show us your progress, show us your progress. And at Jeff figured it out at almost no cost. We turned on the imaging to all of the judges and anybody else in the justice system that wants the images internally without going out to the internet. So if we just meet and talk about these things, we're going to find out what resources are already purchased in the county that other people could use and apply to their departmental computer systems.
We have some great software in that's been developed by our people. It's being used all over the state in ODGFS.
Mm-hmm.
We have, I think, state-of-the-art imaging. You guys would know better at our record center.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we just hired somebody to be a computer person over there. Maybe that person can help us. I mean, a program person. I mean, basically, it's getting somebody to identify it as getting it on the radar as a priority.
I would think
having conversations about it.
Having some type of project director that is reports to the commissioners, because if it's not going to save us money, then let's really don't do it right now. Let's just let the next generation handle those things that, you know, don't increase efficiency.
Is to measure, is there a saving or productivity increase that you can identify the value?
I have a contract with Kaizen Consulting that we negotiated that in addition to our web support, they also do programming, specialized, you know, development of all kinds. They've put together the domestic violence database in Montgomery County. They have a lot of credentials in developing programs to combine justice agencies. I believe I've got banked like 150 hours. That's, it's sitting there. I mean, there's a lot of our resources we could put into this if we get, the project put together. I guess it's the turf issues, I think, more than anything else. So that's why I threw that out there to you, because you'll be having budget hearings and you could reconvene a committee, I believe, to look at these issues, and we would all benefit from it.
So. Well, I appreciate you coming forward and being proactive, especially with the economic indicators that we have and the reality that you're making adjustments, and that's very good. And as for trying to combine all the computer operations, I agree with you that we need to have some sort of project manager to oversee everything and to move this forward, but it's going to be tough because of the buy-in that's going to be needed by all the departments. And some may come easy, some may have to be brought by the back of their shirts.
I suggest just taking Judge Spaeth to a meeting, because he did that at the one meeting.
Right.
It helps to have the ability to issue a court order.
Yeah, and to be bigger than everybody else in the room.
And there may be legitimate concerns that need to be talked mm-hmm. through as to the confidentiality and what happens if you have someone, a rogue person, come into the mm-hmm. system. So it's not just plain and simple that, why isn't it happening now?
I think it's a good idea that Mike had on to have this new person take a look at this, see what the possibilities are, and work with some of these people.
Work with Jeff. I mean, I tell you, the guy, and I don't want to, I know he is fairly modest about this. Most computer guys are kind of like engineers. They try to, figure out how many angels they can get on the head of the needle, and everybody's got their own thing. But Jeff is one of the most, part of this is translating the language, because they're all incredibly bright. And, you can sit there and listen to them speak this language you can't begin to understand. And Jeff Wyrick has done, this office has done the single best job of creating not only an internal system, but one that is user-friendly. And that's at the end of the day, I don't care what you do, if you can't, the problems we had with when we implemented Oracle, if it isn't user-friendly, It's a theory. It's not a real service. And identify a team. This fellow, who I don't know, over at Center we just hired, Jeff. Somebody get together and at least start having conversation.
Sure. They have to report to the commissioners, or it's not going to work, because you're the only agency that chief concern is budgetary, and that's why I think for success it has. Has to report
right
back
time
to the
start the conversation
to the commissioners.
During your budget hearings, we'll talk more about it and to get into the details of what you think the obstacles are, and as we have other budget meetings with other departments, to throw this question out in this goal, and see what obstacles they have, and see if we can get the buy-in and make it smooth.
Good. And I just want to let you guys know before I sit down that Commissioner Fox will be having a birthday. Is that 1 week, 1.5 weeks?
So will you.
Yes, but you are 10 years older than I am, so I'm just,
yours is the,
I just don't want you guys to miss that.
Is that right? 28th?
You're close. Well, thank
20,
you very much.
20, well, you're not.
I'm not
going to.
I'm not
going to
talk about that. I was just going to talk about your birthday.
Mine's the 29th of December. So
okay.
I forget. 27th, 28th. Anyway, here. Come back here. I do have a couple questions about the data you gave us and what we can do. Here, I have a question about one of the things you mentioned that the title office is a business, and being a business. You probably run the risk of creating, there is competition out there. The legislature kind of, when they did cross-county titling, they enabled folks to go out and generate relationships. For example, and the dealer business is a big part of this, and you certainly know more about that than any of us, but are there some things we can do to go out there and offer some great deals to dealers to get their business, that we can go and say, You know, we'll pick them up. We'll, in other words, to be the best, most friendliest, to capture, because this is a revenue issue. In other words, so
right.
if you invest a buck and you go out and you capture all of Jeff Weiler's business, for example.
I hesitate to get into a war with my neighboring counties that are competing for business. That would be Hamilton County and Warren County. Some of the major automobile families, like the Joseph organization, like Jeff Weiler, that own multiple stores, 8-10 stores in the greater Cincinnati area, as the industry has been challenged in sales, they have reduced their overhead in their own employee pool. So they have gone to centralized title processing. So Jeff Weiler has moved everything from their Route 4 store, which is a very large store, to Batavia. So they let their title clerks go that were working out of that store. The same thing with, is it Superior that's down in Spring Grove?
Yes. So we just got Weiler's business back.
Well, what if, for example?
So I asked Weiler just to give us the Butler County business back.
but Stephanie,
yes.
If we, I don't know, when you got those large chains, I mean, what if you just stick a person in the office at their, I don't know, I mean, is there a way you can
if Jeff Weiler gives me his Fairfield business, that's fair. But if I put my mail courier in the car to go to Batavia to pick up the work when it's, you know, a block away from the Claremont County Clerk's office, suddenly I think I'm, you know, just challenging that clerk to come into Butler County and take my business. Don't you remember the old gas wars and all that? I, you know, to me that doesn't make sense. So what we're doing now is we're thoroughly protecting our own business. Stephanie visited Jeff Weiler and said, you know, we need the Butler County business back. We're suffering because of AK Steel. Please support Butler County. And that's our message back to the vendors. Car Corner with, I guess it's Louis Owens is the owner there.
Yeah.
His title runner service decided it would be easier for them to go to Hamilton County because of all their other car business that they do. And we went to Car Corner and we said, no, you know, you please support Butler County. And they said, well, of course we will. We didn't even know that this was an option. So there's now that the industry is struggling, there are a lot of ways that people are, the businesses are trying to cut their costs, and that is reducing their office staff and centralizing their operations. So we're going back at them into Cincinnati and the other communities and saying, you know, you owe it to us. You know, our customers support your business on Route 4. Bring your titles to us. That way, you know, we can provide the services we need to provide for all of Butler County citizens. So we think it's going pretty well. We're doing a lot of review of errors on title clerks to make sure that we have the best customer service. You know, all the quality review type of you know, processes, and it's working. We don't hear bad reviews from our title offices ever, not at the state level, not with any of the dealers, nothing like that. It's just a bad, you know, outlook for the automobile industry right now, and that's what we're feeling.
The other thing that I had is a question about, you mentioned the foreclosure costs and what it's doing to the system. Do we have, or do our courts have, any discretion in levying court costs with respect to that particular element?
No, and we,
or is that fixed by law?
It's fixed by statute. Our charges are fixed by statute. Now, I believe, how long do we know how long since those have been raised? 1940s, 1950s. I mean, it's just been a ridiculously long period of time before that. That's not helping me pay the health, you know, insurance cost on the employees. Those old fee schedules are not really helpful in the current overhead in the justice system.
I think the I don't, again, this is a legislative thing, and the financial industry, as you know, Commissioner Chalvet, very strong in Columbus. Probably explains why these fees haven't been raised in so many years. But if there's any way that we could get the legislature, there may be a political climate now, because what happened is they went out to these folks and they said, here's free money, and it's like a drug dealer. They got them addicted, and then all of a sudden they missed a payment, and oh, your interest is now 23% on your credit card debt, or 30%. Got you in at 7, bumped you up to 31. Now you can't pay the mortgage. Got you in at a variable at 5 or 6, and now you're shooting towards 9 or 10, and they're just collapsing. And the political climate might be out there to get some attention on this in the legislative side, but
And if you go to my website and check foreclosure reports, pull up any month's foreclosure report, and you know the neighborhoods in Butler County, you're seeing this is middle-class homes, okay? This isn't run-down homes where somebody neglected it and said, you know, I don't care about this property anymore. These are real families being set on the street. Look at the addresses. I guarantee you, you'll be shocked to look at the addresses of the homes that are being foreclosed on in Butler County right now. All over my neighborhood, up and down Eagle Ridge.
And that the diversion program, is that something we can do, or is that something that requires legislation? We, meaning the county.
That was actually another one of Jeff Weirich's suggestions, because we have diversion programs for drug abusers in the criminal justice system to hopefully get them on their feet, you know, stop using drugs, you know, and make them a productive member of society. Well, if we took those same, you know, kind of philosophies and applied it to people in financial trouble instead of, you know, drug addiction trouble.
But who has the authority to do that?
Yep. Go ahead.
The prosecutor's office filed those in conjunction with the treasurer's office as far as...
Those are the tax foreclosures, right? Do you see specifically where that universe of homes are that you could say, look, if we handle these a little differently, we can save the system time and money?
Well, you'll...
Now, who do you have to have that conversation with? Is that with the judge, or is that with the prosecutor?
The prosecutor and the treasurer?
It wouldn't be our conversation, because right now the way that that action is a profit center for those two offices. It would be a conversation that would be appropriate for the commissioners to have with them, saying, although this is, you know, where you get so much of your
fee, for them or for their county,
for the treasurer's office and the prosecutor's office. They're an independent fund.
So we don't get that money.
Delinquent, yes.
Don't we run the risk? I mean, the other side of that coin is that the prosecutor has to do this by law to file foreclosures once their taxes are delinquent by so many months or whatever it is.
We're suggesting some kind of coordinated effort with perhaps a judge making the decision on what kind of program, much like they do in the drug addicts coming in through the diversion programs, saying that, you know, you've met our criteria for applying to this program. We Butler County, you know, officials want you to keep your home, and we have a program for you to work to keep your home.
So we want to work with the homeowners that desperately want to keep their home, and they have to go through a process in order to
plan is developed for them would be the only way I would foresee it working, because certainly everybody's not in the same situation. There's reasons for, you know, each individual
I don't want failure. I want individuals to game the system also.
That's not the kind of individuals we're seeing right now, I don't think.
I'm not saying that, but I think that if we do something that it has to be fair and equitable for everybody, and to have a process that
we're just being your eyes and ears here, bringing these up to you, because it doesn't fit, you know, in my responsibilities, you know, to lead that kind of an issue either. But we do think that it would be valuable. You're paying the social services for those people coming back into the system, you know, later on anyway, as commissioners.
I'd like to commend you for the changes that you've made in your office to help.
Thank you.
It's appreciated.
Thank you. Anything else? All right.
Thank you. Anything
else?
Thank you. Thank you, Cindy. Is there anyone else would like to address County Commission this time on any topic? Yes, sir. He you just state your name for?
Good morning. My name is Corey Stewart, and right now I'm a homeless resident of Butler County, and I'm facing problems with dealing with like jobs and family services and the job center. It seems like the system is there to discourage a person from trying to better themselves. And I came this morning just to try to see if there was something that I could maybe say to get things changed so the next person coming behind me won't run into the same problems that I am. Like, I stay at 622 East Avenue, and it seems like that's a problem because the Job and Family Services won't send my mail over there because of some reason or another. I really don't know why.
Hi, my name's Kay Waldo. I'm the director of the homeless shelter, Surf City Chosen. We're getting a lot of frustration. Probably one of the hardest agencies I've worked with since I've been there is Job and Family Services. I've tried really hard to build a relationship there that we could work together because we're getting people in that are, you know, needing every service we can possibly get them. Our shelter is not just about a bed to lay your head. Our shelter is about getting you on your feet. We've had some great success stories in there. I welcome and invite you gentlemen to stop in at any time. I'll give you a tour and show you what we do. But we don't just say, okay, here's a bed, get yourself together, then go find another place to live. So we put a lot of services into the shelter. We work very closely with mental health agencies. We work with adult protection services. I can go on and on, but Job and Family Services is one that we struggle with. And I'm pretty upfront, easy to talk to kind of person, and you can talk to me about anything. We went through a time when we were considering why can't we use the food stamps for the meals that are prepared at Chosen, because our funding is very, very slim. If it weren't for our churches giving us outside donations, we wouldn't have meals at night. They supply our meals every single night. And we thought we get a lot of people that are from the treatment centers, and they're telling us that they can actually, they take their food stamp cards when they come in, and that's how they feed them. And I thought, this is a great idea, you know, maybe this can help us. Because what we're seeing a lot of times is people misusing their food stamps. We'll be out of milk for a week at a time, and somebody will be kind enough to go, I'll go get you some milk. And I thought, well, you know, that'll probably be really good for us to incubate. Well, we called Job and Family Services. I can't remember all the people that I've talking to. You may remember Linda, who came from Columbus, or somebody did. I'm not quite sure. Loved us. They loved us. They loved our facility. They loved what we do, but they can't help us. I'm trying to really understand why, so I kind of let that thing go. Then we've had several people that are in the shelter that keep getting sanctioned and keep getting this, and they can't send their food stamps to here. Well, the problem with that is we've got several handicapped people with us. And for them to walk down to the place to get their cards or get whatever they need, it's a real hardship for them. We try to transport them. We have a transportation service, but we're all about trying to get them to jobs. So if they've got a Job and Family Service appointment and somebody's got a job over there in Fairfield, we're gonna go to Fairfield, I'll be honest with you. So we've been struggling about those things, and I called Job and Family Services over a young woman that had just had a baby. She was sanctioned. She's living in our Becker house with four children. They had no food stamps. We were trying to supply all their needs. I couldn't understand why she was sanctioned other than the fact she had a baby during the time she was supposed to be in school.
Okay, when you say sanctioned, I'm talking here.
Where are you?
Right here. I'm sorry. When you say sanction, what does that mean?
You know what? That's why I'd like to get with Job and Family Services and learn what that means. If they don't make an appointment, okay? Say they're going to a training, a job at the job center, and they don't make that appointment, they can get sanctioned. If they don't make an appointment,
having the labeled sanction means you lose benefits.
Stamps.
Okay. Have you sat down with anyone with Jobs and Family Services?
Honey, you should ask that. I called Job and Family Services and wanted to speak to Bruce Jewett. And I got someone else on the line. Well, actually, I spoke to about five different people, and they kept giving me different names to talk to. You know how that goes. I finally got on the phone with Karen Conklin, and we discussed the problems that we're having at the shelter. She let me know that, in no uncertain terms, that the mail would not be coming to 622 East Avenue. And I asked her why. And she said that there's just different things that happen, that the people move on, the checks get stolen. I said, excuse me, there has never been a check stolen here at Serve City. Yes, on East Avenue and the residents and the places like that, there has been checks stolen. Never at Serve City have any checks or any mail been stolen. So I don't see a problem. Finally, it came down to the fact that that was a decision that Karen herself had made. So I said, well, I really would like to talk to Bruce and try and figure this out, why we can't work these things out. And she told me that she had made the decision and Bruce had would stick with her. And I said, well, that's fine, but I'd still like to speak to him. So I did receive a phone call a couple days later from his other assistant. But I have never, ever spoken to Bruce. It's a huge problem in our shelter. All I want to do is be able to work with these agencies together. We're not asking for anything that the people do not deserve. We're just asking for a break here.
Besides the mail, there's other things?
There's other issues.
Do you have a list that you have?
We probably didn't come very prepared. I could probably make a list. I started to call Mr. Fox when all this happened. And my executive director, Linda, said, well, wait until Bruce calls you back before you involve Mike. So...
Well, we'll make sure that you have a meeting with Bruce and the officials, Jobs and Family Services.
Well, this is the kind of thing that I want you gentlemen to know. And this is the frustration that Corey had gone through. He has picked himself up. He has gotten off drugs. He has been looking for a job. He's going to school. He is doing everything that he can do. He walks in to get his food stamps, and he gets the runaround about it. He gets frustrated, upset, comes back. He also has some mental problems right now that, God love him, we're working on. But people need to know that they got other things going on here. And if we could just all work together to get the same result, that's my whole thing, is when I'm asking people at Job and Family Services, why can't you send their food stamps here? That's been a decision we made. Why?
If I may, Mr. President. Interestingly, I've had the same conversation with Karen. She told me the same thing she told you. And this comes down to a two-vote issue. I try to explain to Karen that there is a difference between the houses where people are coming and going that do not have a program. In other words, it's not a program. There's a policy reason why they put restrictions on addresses and so forth, and that is because there were times when people would set up scams to game the system. That's how you would have the folks getting multiple checks to a, quote, you know, mailbox someplace, and people would just go in. Now, it's not an either or, all or nothing type of an option. We could set criteria where we say, look, this is a group that has, what, 50 churches involved?
60
churches. So we know that there's some oversight of who's there. So if they say this person lives here, we know that Kay and Linda and her people are going to be truthful. We know in Bobby Grove, same thing, which is so difficult for the handicapped. Bobby was telling me, young Bobby was telling me about a woman he had in is disabled. And she would have to get, I mean, they would try to work for transportation. Ironically, if they called for our transportation services, we would send them down somebody from UTS or somebody.
If they have Medicaid,
this woman had Medicaid. We would spend a ton of money, which is how they finally worked it out, which he said, look, this is a waste of money because she'd have to come up. We would pay to do the transportation, but she was using a walker. And to get from that house down there, whatever, 6th, and to get here was a major struggle for her. And I think we've got some programs that are doing outstanding work with some of these organizations. I tell you, Corey and Kay and Lynn, I'm so happy. This is one of those issues that I talked to young Bobby about 2 months ago, maybe longer. I lose track of time, but some of the rest of us have mental issues too, so don't worry about that. And I think it's something we ought to look at and see if where we have regular programs where we know the people, we trust the people, you know, we ought to facilitate a way for people that are involved in their places to be able to
I appreciate that. But I would like to point out to you as well, even after we moved into the Becker House, which is 640 Sycamore Street, which single women live there with their children, that is a residence. They were not allowed to receive their mail there either.
Same thing at Bobby's place. They have individual mail. They have, those are all apartments. And I'm saying, you know, I said, why isn't this treated like an apartment?
Right, right. Well, and this is a residence. And they did, after I became a little bit nauseating probably, they did say that they would send the mail over to Sycamore. But it's a far bigger problem than that. It's like I heard the word turf be used in there. I am all about being on one team. I am all about let's serve the people. I probably don't fit in well in political arenas. I'm here to tell you that. I'm very passionate for what I do. And I know that we are trying to help Hamilton, Ohio, by the service that we have here. We're trying the best we can, and we need the help of the other agencies as well.
Can I say something?
Thank you.
We did not prepare a list, but we can do that for you. One important thing that we're having, the importance of the mail is they aren't told when they have communications. If they don't follow up on those communications, then they get no services. So that's why the mom ended up with no food for the kids and stuff. But the other issue that's very important is the community service aspect. You have to fulfill so many hours of community service. I'm all for that. I think that that's very valid program and a good one. Corey's a prime example of someone who is doing everything he should be doing. He's going back to get his GED. That's supposed to qualify for community services. When he went in to talk to him, they said it won't qualify. He said, why not? It says right here on your list it qualifies. They said, well, it doesn't now. No explanation, no. It almost seems like if someone's homeless, there's a stumbling block. There's a judgment call that they are not able to receive the same services that other people are, and we just want to advocate on their behalf, because Corey is homeless. He and his family survived Hurricane Katrina. They've been through a tremendous ordeal, and I have a lot of respect and admiration that he is making these changes. He wants to go back for welding. You know, he's got a plan, and it seems like the agencies that should be supporting him, I'm going to use your words, Corey, are frustrating him. So that's, I guess, all we want to say. Yeah.
We'll facilitate a meeting between yourselves and Jobs and Family Services.
Okay.
And please bring these issues. And, you know, I'm you know, I don't want to be critical of Jobs and Family Services because I don't know the other side, but we can't get to the other side and get to a solution unless, you know, if we don't have communications.
Exactly. I agree.
So, you know, we need to sit down. I'm not saying that they're, you know, you're 100% right or they're 100% right.
We would value communication. We just have had the door shut on it.
Right.
So,
and Corey, thank you for coming forward.
If I may add, my wife and I have been down several times for various donations and various drop-off items and so on, and always very impressed with the job that's being done there.
And I've heard nothing but glowing remarks about about what you do there. So.
Oh, you haven't talked to any guests I've had to kick out then?
No, apparently not. I've missed those, I guess.
Good.
I have to try harder.
I've had a number of employees who've had to stay, you know, and they didn't say one bad word.
That's great.
You guys do wonderful work.
Thank you.
Thank you so much
for your support.
Thanks for the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else? Anyone else like to address commission?
Mr. President?
Yes.
I did want to, I think last year we participated in the, there was an article a couple days ago in the newspaper about the food drive, which indicated that for every dollar that's donated, another dollar, I mean $10, that's what I'm trying to say, is retrieved in food. This is done through Shared Harvest and Tina Oso's people, and I'd like us to find a way to, donate at least, last year I think it was $10,000, but I know our budget's tight and all that stuff, but I was hoping that Bruce could find some, I think we got some out of Bruce last year, we're squeezing him pretty hard, but if there's a way to find the money and we come back at, I don't know, when do we meet again?
Thursday.
Maybe come back on Thursday and give us a report and see if you can find a way to come up with the money.
Okay.
I would support that. Okay. Thank you. Anything else?
No, nothing more. Move to adjourn.
Second.
Commissioner Fox?
Yes.
Commissioner Herman?
Yes.
Commissioner Delvett?
Yes.
Thank you.